I'd like you to turn now, if you would, once again to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. I wonder if you've ever watched a movie with a lump in your throat and with tears in your eyes. I've done that. And I'm sure you probably have too. Is that wrong? I don't think so. You've probably considered that movie to be pretty good. A great one, in fact. And you became emotionally involved with the characters and with the plot. And that movie had an impact, a real impact on you. Is such emotional involvement to be considered wrong? Again, I don't think so. When it comes to emotional involvement, we think of sports right away. And we definitely get emotionally involved with our favorite team. Sometimes people go overboard. And you may have seen in the news this last Friday where at a high school basketball game, there was a riot, literally, on the basketball floor where parents, over-enthusiastic as they were, fought one another on the basketball floor. Well, we all recognize that that's going overboard. But we wouldn't say that getting emotionally involved with the sport is wrong. In fact, in these days when the Olympics are going on, I just talked to my mother, and I know as she explained it to me, she sat in the chair watching some of the activities with a lump in her throat, emotionally involved. But it's interesting, isn't it, when we begin to talk about getting emotionally involved in the realm of religion, it's almost anathema to talk about emotions. And to talk about getting emotionally involved with God, well, let's back off a little bit and not get carried away. Isn't that usually our reaction? And worship, for example, is contrasted with emotional involvement. And orthodoxy, our faith, is contrasted with emotional involvement. But what is our faith without some emotional involvement? Really? I'll tell you what it is. It's a big zero. That's what it is. Real faith involves your thinking. That's true. We've talked about that. But without some emotional involvement, folks, we'll not go very far. And our faith involves what we do. But without some emotional involvement, it won't go very far. And so this morning, I guess the basic question that I lay before each of you is simply this. Are you attached to God? Are you emotionally involved with the living God? And I think it's an important question. To get at this, I'd like you to look first of all at 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Where the Apostle Paul says, and I'm reading from the New American Standard Version now, "You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections." Affections. The New International Version uses the same word, affections, there. And the King James Version uses the word bowels. And that's literally what it is. Bowels, inner parts. And the Apostle Paul is talking about emotions, gut-level emotions. If you look at 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verses 13 through 15, the same word is used there. Look at that passage, if you would. "For this reason we have been comforted, and besides our comfort we rejoice even much more for the joy of Titus, because his spirit has been refreshed by you all. For if in anything I have boasted to him about you, I was not put to shame, but as we spoke all things to you in truth, so also our boasting before Titus proved to be the truth, and his affection abounds all the more toward you." Here Titus was after having been with the Corinthians, learning from the lips of the Apostle Paul some information about the Corinthians. He was emotionally involved with those people. And the Apostle Paul said that having been attached to you like he was, that when he heard news about you, folks, his affection just abounded all the more. That's what we're talking about here. And it's interesting, too, because the same thing is spoken of the Lord Jesus. If you look at Matthew chapter 9, Matthew chapter 9, a very familiar text in Matthew 9:36. This is just one example of the same thing being spoken of concerning the Lord Jesus. Matthew 9:36. "And seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them." It's the same word we're talking about. His affections were drawn into motion here. His emotions were stirred. We're talking about the emotional level here with the Lord Jesus. He felt compassion for them because they were distressed and downcast, like sheep without a shepherd. Now go back to 2 Corinthians, if you would. Because it seems that the Apostle Paul was really in earnest with regards to the Corinthians. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning with verse 1, and catch, if you will, the emotional attachment and commitment that Paul had to his ministry. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 1. "And working together with him, we also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, 'At the acceptable time I listened to you, and on the day of salvation I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Giving no cause for offense in anything, in order that the ministry be not discredited, but in everything commending ourselves as servants of God, in much endurance, in affliction, in hardships, in distresses, in beatings, and in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleeplessness, and in hunger.'" Do you suppose Paul was stirred up a little bit? Listen. That man went through quite a little bit. Hunger and beatings and sleepless nights, cast into the sea. Verse 6. "In purity, in knowledge, in patience, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in genuine love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, by the weapons of righteousness for the right hand and the left, by glory and dishonor, by evil report and good report, regarded as deceivers and yet true, as unknown yet well known, as dying yet behold we live, as punished yet not put to death, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing, as poor, yet making many rich, as having nothing, yet possessing all things. Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is opened wide." Do you catch the flavor of what Paul is saying? He says, "Corinthians, our ministry has been committed to you. And, O Corinthians, we have spoken freely to you. Our heart is wide open to you." That's where we are. And it's a tremendous thing that the Apostle Paul says. The King James Version says, "Their hearts were enlarged."
Here was somebody with a big heart.
You know the kind of person I'm talking about. It takes someone with a big heart to go through imprisonments and tumults and being cast into the sea and still continue his ministry and come to these people and say, "Our hearts are enlarged to you, O Corinthians." But there was a problem here, it seems. The problem was that the relationship was one-sided. And I think you know what I mean when I speak of a one-sided relationship. I know you've probably been in the circumstance where you have attempted to open your heart to someone else and you've been met with a brick wall. I remember going to a basketball game here not too long ago and sitting down next to another pastor because I really did want to get acquainted with him a little bit more. And we made some small talk, and before I knew it, he got up and walked away. You don't get into a relationship like that, do you? Because it's one-sided. And that's what was happening to the Apostle Paul. Look again at 2 Corinthians. Verse 11 in chapter 6. "Our mouth has spoken freely to you, O Corinthians. Our heart is open wide." Verse 13. "Now in like exchange, I speak as to children. Open wide to us. Open your heart to us, O Corinthians," Paul says. And folks, Paul is talking again on this emotional level. There was a problem here. The hearts of these people, it seems, were closed down. Look at verse 12. "You are not restrained by us, but you are restrained in your own affections." You see, here's the emotional level again. We've opened our hearts to you. You have not opened your hearts to us. You have been restrained in your own affections. That was the problem. And I think you get the picture. I'd like you to turn to 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17, because the same concept is used. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. We all know this sort of thing is wrong. 1 John chapter 3 verse 17 says, "But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him?" Literally, we could translate it this way: who closes his affections against him. It's like the parable of the Good Samaritan, where this poor fellow had been robbed and beaten and was lying beside the road. And the religious fellow came by and saw him and said, "Well, I don't want to get involved with that," and walked around the other way. How often that's the case. "Well, I don't want to get involved in that." And the emotions are closed down. The heart is closed down. That's what we're talking about. We hold our emotions in check against someone else because we do not want to get involved. Look again at 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 12. Some of you have the New International Version. Let me read you what it says in the New International Version. "We are not withholding our affection from you, but you are withholding yours from us." There's a breakdown. And fellowship cannot exist when that's the case, where there is not mutual affection.
And I know you have experienced that even as I have. I remember in a church situation several years ago where a lady in the congregation was in some difficulty because of a family situation with her son. And I really wanted to help. And when I went to visit, I was met with that cold reception that said, "No thank you," without words. Paul says it, doesn't it? "We have not withheld our affection from you, but you have withheld your affection from us." But now, why do I talk about this sort of thing? Here's why. The very same thing is true with regards to your relationship with God and my relationship with God. Look, if you would, now at Deuteronomy chapter 10. Deuteronomy chapter 10, which we read earlier. Because Moses, through the Holy Spirit, gives us the very same idea. In Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 15. Listen to what is said here. "Yet on your fathers did the Lord set his affection to love them, and he chose their descendants after them, even you above all peoples, as it is this day." The King James Version says, "The Lord had delight on your fathers. He set his affection on your fathers," Moses says, "to love them." You know, we don't often think about God acting on an emotional level. And I think the reason we do not often think of God acting on an emotional level is because our emotions have been so perverted by sin. But this is exactly what Moses gives us here. God has set his affection on his people. And I want to tell you something, folks. God's affections are pure. God's affections are perfect. And it's a tremendous thing, you see, because God is attached to his people. God is committed to his people. And what does God expect from his people? Well, look at Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 12. "And now, O Israel, what does the Lord your God require from you but to fear the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways and to love him, and to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul." What does the Lord want? He wants you to love him. That's what he wants. He wants you to love him. Folks, the Lord God Almighty has set his affection upon you to love you. And he comes back and says to you, and he says to me, "What do I require? I want you to love me with all your heart and with all your soul." And if that doesn't get down to an emotional level, then there's not real love. That's all there is to it. Let me try to explain it this way. The Lord God came to the prophet Hosea a long time ago. And he said to the prophet Hosea, "Hosea, I want you to go out and I want you to love a woman. And I want you to marry her. And Hosea did it. And the woman was a prostitute, a harlot. And she left Hosea and played the harlot. And God came back to Hosea a second time after the harlotry and the adultery had been committed. And God said to Hosea, "Hosea, I want you to go back. And I want you to go back to this woman. And I want you to buy her back. And take her for your own. And I want you to love her." And Hosea did it. And he had to pay a price for this woman. And he went back and he loved her. And God said to Hosea, "I'm doing this to you, Hosea, because I want you to understand how much it is that I love my people. And I'm willing to go back to them and redeem them and bring them back to myself. And I want them to love me." Now I'll tell you what. Hosea was emotionally involved in this whole situation, to say the very least. And God was explaining to Hosea in a very real life situation how it is that he has set his affection on his people to love them. You remember the story of the prodigal son. How the son left the household after receiving his inheritance. And he went out and spent it all. And when he was in the pigsty, looking at the husks and saying to himself, "What in the world am I doing here? My father has plenty to eat. And all I've got is the husks that the swine are eating off of. I'm going to go back to my father." And he goes back to his father, and his father has been waiting, looking down the road. And when he sees his son, his father runs. He runs down the road, and he throws himself on his son's neck and embraces him and kisses him. And he says, "Bring out the best robe and kill the fatted calf. Because my son who was dead is alive again." You tell me, was that father and that son in their reunion caught up in an emotional scene? Of course they were. And that's what God is saying to you and to me. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? Have you come to an understanding of the gospel? That God says Christ died for your sins according to the Scriptures, that He was raised again on the third day according to the Scriptures. Have you understood that gospel? And have you accepted Jesus Christ as the one who has paid the penalty due to you for your sins? Has that been the case in your life? Can you say yes and amen to that? Then I want to tell you something. God has set His affection upon you to love you. That's what He's done. And that's a deep running emotional thing, folks. I'm not talking about emotionalism and a bunch of hyper stuff here. I'm talking about a gut level assurance and knowledge and emotional contact with the living God. That you know He set His affection upon you. And He comes back and He says, "All I want you to do is love me. and follow me. You know, several years ago when I didn't have contact with my own father for over a year, and we were really at odds, and we were finally united, and it was a scene like the scene of the prodigal son, where I met him one night and he didn't know I was coming, and we ran towards each other and fell on each other's necks and cried. And all he wanted was to know that I loved him. That's all he wanted. And folks, that's what God wants from you. He wants to know that you love him and will serve him with all your heart. That's what he wants. Let's pray together. Oh God, may it be that we understand that you have been pleased to set your affections upon us. And may it be, oh God, that we understand too that what you want is for us to respond in like manner, to set our affections upon you. Oh, fill us with your Holy Spirit that we might understand that. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.